There is a word from God today. It comes from a very familiar passage of scripture for all of the folk that grew up in the church. It comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 4, verse 39. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and the word of God reads as follows. It says, "From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things I have done." Of course, this is the passage of scripture that's talking about that famous, that woman at the well. It is only recorded in the Gospel of John. No other gospel records it. But an interesting fact, this woman who we never get her name, what's her name? We just know her as the woman at the well. But guess what? This woman who we never get to know her name, God knows her name. And I'm here to tell you, that's good news today. You know, everybody might not come to know your name, but I'm here to tell you that the only important thing is if God knows your name. God knows your name, and I want God to know your name in the pardoning of your sins. I want God to know your name, that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Amen. So we come to know about this lady. This passage of scripture is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had with somebody in the Gospel of John. I want you to let that marinate in your mind for just a second. Jesus, out of all the different people he encountered in the Gospel of John, he spent more time talking with this woman at the well than he did with anybody else. You know, in a time where we live in a culture where it seems like sometimes people look down on you. Sometimes people don't care about you. Sometimes people say that you second class. Sometimes people say you got no class. But I'm here to tell you that that's not how it is with Jesus. Ain't y'all glad about that today? Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to share with you just a couple of quick points. Three points I want to share with you in this message today. Point number one, God seeks. God seeks. Point number two, God saves. And lastly, point number three, we praise. Amen? God seeks, God saves, we praise. Amen. I believe that'll preach. All right. Okay, here we are. So we pick up this story in the Gospel of John. First verse in John. And so the setting is this. Jesus has been in Judea, and he's been baptizing folks, you know, him and his disciples. They've been doing what Jesus does. Jesus is doing Jesus things. You know, Jesus is saving folks. Folks is coming to know who the Savior is, right? And folks are becoming disciples of Jesus, who is the Christ. And it says that the Pharisees heard about this, that Jesus was baptizing more people than John the Baptist, right? And Jesus said, okay. But it wasn't really Jesus who was actually baptizing folks. It was his disciples that was doing it, right? His disciples were doing the baptizing. But Jesus says, okay, all right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and me and my disciples, we're going to get ready and we're going to take a trip to Galilee, all right? So from Judea to Galilee, right, the quickest way to get there would have been to go straight, like that straight line. The straight line would have led them into a place or to go through a place called Samaria. Amen? Y'all know what Samaria is? Y'all know what that is? Don't worry about it. Y'all got time to look it up. But here's the important thing. If you were a Jew, you wouldn't have went to Samaria. Jews did not deal with the Samaritans. Amen? It's kind of like, for those folks out there that like, you know, country and Western, it kind of would have been like the cowboys going to where the Indians were or vice versa. Nah, they don't mix. You don't go that way. You go around. You take the long way around to avoid them. That's what the Jews did when it came to the Samaritans. And the interesting thing is, you know, they really were related. The Jews and the Samaritans are related, right? The Samaritans were really Jews, but they were inbred, right? They you know, so when the Assyrians captured the northern kingdom, you know, and they took them into captivity, right? And so some of the Jews stayed there in Samaria. They didn't take all of them. Well, what wound up happening is the Jews who stayed there, the Assyrians repopulated that area with some people from Assyria in different places. And then guess what happened? They started what? Sister said, I done read my Bible. They started getting together. They started hooking up. They started getting married. And they started having kids. And the next thing you know, they kind of mixed together. Well, the Jews that had came out of the Babylonian captivity, they remained. They only stayed together. They kept marrying, you know, only Jews. So when they came out of this thing, right, and they saw the Samaritans, they were like, y'all not even real Jews no more. You know, y'all half-breeds, you know? You ain't even real. You're not the pure, right? I mean, I know a little bit about it. Like, I have relatives in Mississippi. Reverend Brown, you'll be able to appreciate this. Down south, this is a big thing. I didn't know it, but, you know, my uncles and cousins, they had these dogs, right? And they were like, you know, talking about selling some of these puppies or whatever. And they were like, hey, you can get top dollar for this puppy right here, this litter of puppies. And they were like, I got papers on this dog. I got papers on him. I was like, what does that mean? Oh, nephew, that means he pure. He pure blood. And I was like, oh, I guess that means something to somebody. All right. Well, I guess the Jews kind of felt the same way is what I'm trying to say, right? And they looked down on the Samaritans because they weren't what they considered pure blood Jews. All right. So this is where we pick up the story. Jesus takes this trip and he goes straight to get to Galilee. But he stops off because he's tired in this place, this city, this town close to Samaria called Sychar, right? Jesus walks. And then he tells his disciples, he says, hey, y'all go get some food, go get some supplies for us and everything. And I'm just going to kind of wait right here. So Jesus, he stops at this well. He's tired. It's 12 o'clock in the noonday. You know, I'm kind of scratching my head when I look at this story, and I'm like, why would he have been traveling right in the heat of the day? But Jesus was traveling in the heat of the day, and he stops at this well. And all of a sudden, he stops at this well, and he meets this woman who soon comes out there, and because she's coming out to draw water, Jesus has a full-blown conversation with this lady who is a Samaritan. She's coming to get water. And Jesus talks with her. You know, that whole thing is crazy, right? If you one of the ladies back in that day, would you go get water in the dead heat of the day? I mean, seriously, would you? I mean, it's like 100 plus degrees. Has anybody been over to the Middle East before? Oh, my. You know, y'all think it get hot here in Texas? Y'all go over to the Middle East. I'm here to tell you, I didn't know the sun. It seemed like the sun is coming down closer on the earth or something. It gets hot over there. There is no way you're going to want to go get water in the middle of the day at noon. It's 100 plus degrees. But she's going to get water, and she's by herself, which tells us a few things. You see, typically for women, when they went to get water, that was kind of like the social time for them to kind of get together and talk about, girl, what you been doing, and, you know. Girl, my man getting on my nerves too. I can't stand him. I get tired of going to get this water. I'd be glad when we have some servants and I don't have to be the one going to get this water, right? That was the time that women was able to get together and be able to kind of chew the fat, so to speak. So, you know, for her to be going there at this time by herself says she was an outcast. It says something was wrong that she wasn't in the in crowd with the rest of the girls, right? So here's the deal. But she's here by herself, and here's Jesus sitting there waiting. Jesus sitting there waiting. All right. Jesus has a conversation with her, a full-blown conversation. He asked her for a drink of water. The woman is like, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't get along. We don't kick it. We not down like that. We not tight like that. Why are you talking to me? And then on top of that, in the culture of that day, you know, Jews, the men, they didn't talk to women out in public. Did y'all know that? I know some of y'all men today want to bring back some of those customs or whatever. Like when y'all with y'all women and y'all out in the mall or something like that, you know, you're like, hey, you can't talk to me right now. You know, we got to wait till we get home. But they weren't supposed to talk to the women. The only way a male Jew could talk to a woman is he was supposed to be talking to his daughter. That's the only one he could talk to. There was this one set of Jews, interesting fact, that they went out of their way not only not to talk to women out in public, if they saw a woman coming, they would close their eyes. This is true. They would close their eyes if they saw a woman coming from a distance to make sure, not only do I not talk to you, I don't even want to be looking at you, right? And this set of Jews, you know, they would wind up, they were called the bumped and bruised set of Jews, because they would run into walls, run into stones, run into all kinds of stuff to keep from looking at these women. Now, sisters, I know y'all want to bring that back today, right? Y'all want to bring that back for some of the men, like, hey, don't even close your eyes. Don't even look at her. All right. All right. Okay. Now, so that's where we are. Jesus is here at the well and he's talking to this woman. So point number one, God seeks. Jesus is talking to a woman. I just established Jew men weren't supposed to talk to women. So he's already breaking rule number one. Point number two, she's a Samaritan, right? Different race, right? Jesus is a Jew. She's a Samaritan. He ain't supposed to be talking to her. They don't get down like that. Point number three, the story tells us that this Samaritan woman has had five husbands. Come on now. She done had five husbands, and that the man that she's with right now ain't her husband. Huh? Anyway, she's breaking all kinds of rules, but Jesus still takes the time to talk to her. So she's got a moral issue going on. She's got a, hey, you know, race issue going on. She's got a gender issue going on. Hey, all kinds of stuff are going on. But Jesus says, I'm still going to take the time out to talk to you. I believe that's good news today. I believe that's good news, church, that no matter how society looks down on you, Jesus don't look down on you. Even when we kind of get into this church thing, and this is, I think, let me put a pin in it, Pastor, for the church folk. This is very important. We can't be that church that says we're only looking for folks that look like us. We only want to deal with folks that sound like us. We only want to deal with folks that we're comfortable with. We, if we're going to be the people of God, if we're going to follow Jesus' example, we got to be willing to go and talk to anybody. We got to be willing to talk to everybody, because we want to see everybody get saved. Amen? Praise God. All right. So I want you to understand this, that God sought her, that in his omniscience, he knew everything. Jesus said, even though I'm going to send my disciples to go do something else, I got a divine appointment. There's a lady that comes to this well every day, and she comes here around noontime every day, and she's hurting. She's ashamed. She's an outcast. Her own people don't care nothing about her, and they look down on her because she's a woman. But I'm here to tell you I want to restore her. I'm here to tell you I want to lift her up. I'm here to tell you the thing that she's been searching for, she's been looking for fulfillment in all these men. But the only thing that can fill her is a relationship with me. And that's a word for somebody today. Sometimes we start looking to be filled by the wrong things, right? We think that that man is going to be the one that's going to be able to fill that hole in my heart. Men, we think that that woman is going to be the one that's going to be able to make me feel like I'm a real man. Maybe it's that stuff that we buy, that new house, that new car. Maybe it's the amount of money that we make it. But I'm here to tell you, when you live life, you come to find out that all of that stuff is temporary. All of that stuff is fleeting. All of that stuff is sinking sand. I'm here to tell you that the only thing that can fill that hole that we got is a relationship with Jesus. I'm here to tell you that when you get a taste of Jesus, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you get a real taste of Jesus, I'm here to tell you, nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. I'm here to tell you, when you say, Reverend Boykin, why are you crying like that? Reverend Boykin, why are you getting excited like that? Because I've had a taste of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, can't nothing and nobody do me like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I asked myself, I said, well, why would Jesus be talking to this woman? And I'm glad you asked that question. I believe Luke chapter 19, verse 10 sums it up. The Bible says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. She was lost. I think I told y'all point number one is God is a what? God seeks us. He came seeking her. He sought her out. He had a divine appointment with this lowly, shamefully despised woman. I ran in this thing. It says in Peter Ackroyd's biography of Shakespeare, it's been noted that in the book, he said, all of Shakespeare's tragedies deal only with persons of high degree. He said tragedies of low life held no interest for him. It was only royalty he was concerned with, the King Richards, the Caesars, the Prince Hamlets. The tragedies of the poor he was not concerned with at all. I'm so glad that God is not like Shakespeare. I'm so glad that God cares about the low. I'm so glad that God cares about that nobody. I'm so glad that God says, you know what? You might not be a somebody to them, but you're a somebody to me. When man puts you down, when man throws you out, God is right there saying, I'm not like man. I'm God and I love you. Your life has purpose. You have meaning. I created you with purpose. So I'm here to tell you, church, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in your past, whether you did it or somebody did it to you, I'm here to tell you that God loves you and that God is here. God is here. God is seeking after you right now. If you think it's just a woman at the well, it's not. If you're under the sound of my voice, God is seeking you right now. God has you here to hear a word from him today. And I'm here to tell you, God loves you. God loves you. And I believe if I could call just a few witnesses to testify about this thing, they would say it's true. What about Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden? God came and saw about them. What about Gideon when he was scared in the wine press and he was threshing wheat in the wine press? God came to see about him. What about Rahab, the prostitute? I believe if you asked her today, she said, God came and saw about me and he saved my family. What about Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector. People looked down on him. But guess what? God saw him up in a tree and said, come on down. I need to go to your house. We need to spend some time together. Oh, hallelujah. What about Ruth the Moabite? God said, I don't care if you're not a Jew. I got good news for you. You're going to be one of my people. What about Moses, the murderer? He was on the run from Egypt. But guess what? He ran into God at the burning bush. I'm here to tell you, God loves you. God cares about you. And when don't nobody else come to see about you, God is here to see about you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If he came to see about them, rest assured, he's here to see about you. God loves you. Somebody needs to hear that today. You're wondering if God really knows who you are. You're wondering if God really cares what you're going through. I'm here to tell you, God, he cares. He knows and he cares. We're all sinners in need of God's saving grace. None of us are perfect. None of us deserve it. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus down from heaven, clothed in human flesh, lived a sinless life, went to Calvary's cross and paid the price. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's lessons here for every true believer. We need to know that just like God sought after that woman at the well, he's seeking after you today. You might think that it just started today, but I'm here to tell you that God sought after you back in eternity past. God didn't just now start caring about you. Way back when, God says, I know who you are. I marked you out in eternity past. You're going to be with me. You're going to be with me. You're going to be with me. I love you. I'm coming to get you. You're going to be with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, that's it, but the story gets better. It don't end right there. So God is talking with her, right? Now he says, hey, in verse 10, he asked her, after he asked her for a drink of water, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink of water? Jesus said in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Hallelujah. Man, you know, I kind of try to put myself in her shoes. Some man talking about giving me some living water. What is that? You know, I've been drinking from this well right here. The water seemed like it's sweet. What are you talking about, living water? Hey, she didn't know. The woman, unbeknownst to her, had stumbled across a treasure. It wasn't just some guy that was sitting there at the well that day, but Jesus, the Messiah. And it wasn't a coincidence. He's God. He knows everything. He knew she would be there. He knew she needed him. He knew she needed what only he could give her, the living water, the eternal life. She didn't know in the moment, the gift of God, that it was about to be set before her right then and there. I believe we're like her today. We come out to church Sunday after Sunday, and you hear the preacher preach, you hear the praise team praise, sing these beautiful songs, and sometimes we leave church the same way we came. We leave church the same way we came. But, you know, all of a sudden you come to find out, but somebody got happy in church today. Somebody seemed like, they was doing all that shouting and yelling and, you know, crying, and seemed like, hey, that tissue wasn't enough. It was breaking down all on their face and everything. I don't know. It just didn't seem like it took all that. But I'm here to tell you, somebody got a taste of the living water. Somebody got a taste of the living water. Somebody got a taste of the bread of life. Somebody got a taste of the great I am. And I'm here to tell you, he's right here today. He's right here today. My challenge to you is don't leave here the same way you came. If you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, I dare you to call on the name of Jesus. I dare you to say, Lord God, I want to get a drink today. Lord God, I need a taste from you today. Lord God, I done tried everything else. I tried my money, and my money gets funny sometimes. Lord God, I tried my friends, but my friends sometimes walk out on me. Lord God, I tried everything else. My job don't make me feel like it used to make me feel. Oh, I need something that's going to fill that hole in my heart. I dare you to call on Jesus today. I dare you to call on Jesus today. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's interesting that Jesus uses the term, the gift of God, to describe salvation. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is exactly what Jesus went on to say that he could offer her. Verse 14, he said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. This woman had an incredible opportunity. The gift of eternal life was sitting right in front of her. She had to come on, and she had been going to that well doing her normal thing day after day to get that water, going through the motions. But seemingly out of nowhere, she had the opportunity to have eternal life, just like us. But here's the thing. It's not seemingly out of nowhere. God is intentional about everything that he does. We might not be intentional, but I'm here to tell you that God is intentional. You know, you might think that it's just by random chance that you're here today or that you're listening in by way of Facebook, but it's not. See, our God is so intentional. Our God says, you know, you're going to kneel before me. You're going to kneel before me one day in judgment. And our God says, I don't want you to have an excuse that you didn't get a chance to accept that gift that I wanted to give you. You know, you might be saying, hey, because I know there's some people in here that feel like they're pretty smart, and they're like, well, I think I can pull a fast one on God. But you can't. You're going to kneel before God, and God is going to say, I gave you a chance. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with the gift that I wanted to give you? And you're going to say, well, Lord, I would have accepted that gift if I knew you put it right in front of me. And God is going to remind you. He's going to say, hey, you think that TV you got has great resolution and that it shows so clear, it looked like you could put your hand in there and you in the scene? God says, I'm going to show you your life, and I'm going to show you the times that I gave you a chance, that I offered you this gift. And he's going to take you back down memory lane, and he's going to take you back to a time called when you sat in a church called Living Faith Community Church, and he's going to say, didn't you hear my vessel preaching? Didn't you hear him when he said, but do you want a taste of that living water? That God is offering you living water just like he offered the woman at the well 2,000 plus years ago, that he's offering it to you today. And he's going to say, what did you do when the offer came your way? And I'm here to tell you, ain't none of us going to be able to have no excuse when we kneel before the Lord. Amen. And here's my declaration. I don't want none of y'all to miss out. I already know I'm going to heaven one day. This ain't my home. I'm just passing through. But I'm here to tell you, I want all of y'all to be going home with me. I want all of y'all to, I want to see you where it counts on the other side. I don't want none of y'all to miss out on that living water. So God, hey, I want God to touch your heart today. All right, let's keep it going. All right.
So where am I at in this message? All right. So she had this gift right in front of her. But before she could seize the opportunity of the gift of salvation, she had to come face to face with her sinful lifestyle. I want to say this because, as Pastor Love already alluded to, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be talking more about evangelism. And evangelism, I know y'all hear that word, like that's a church word. What does that mean? Is that Greek? What is it? I didn't study Hebrew and all that other stuff. But simply put, all evangelism is going and sharing the good news. If you're a Christian and you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, all it is going and telling everybody about this great God who saved you, who loves you, and says, I want to save everybody. Will you go and tell somebody that I'm a good God? Will you go tell somebody about what I've done in your life? Are you willing to tell somebody that didn't nobody do it but me? Couldn't nobody do it but Jesus? Are you willing to tell them, or are you ashamed of me? Do you just want to keep it to yourself? I don't want to keep it to myself. God has been so good to me. I'm here to tell you, I can't say it enough, that God has been good to me. And I want to tell somebody. I want to tell everybody. All right. But you know, church, when we're talking about Jesus Christ and his goodness and we want to see people get saved, there's a part that we can't forget. And Jesus brought it up in this story. It's this word called repentance. Yes. Oftentimes, we want to get what God has. I want to be saved. Yeah, Lord, save me. But I want to keep living like I've been living. I want to keep doing what I've been doing. I want to do it like Burger King. I want to have it my way. That's not how it works with God, church. It's God's way or no way. It's God's way or no way. And so God said, hey, I want to save you. I want to save you. I'm offering you living water right now. But he did something strange. Jesus actually brought up the problem she faced because he knew it was important. Her sin separated her from her opportunity, from the opportunity God had for her to receive eternal life. We need to realize the importance of this. This was obviously no small thing, or Jesus wouldn't have brought it up. He said to this woman, right? He told her, I want to make sure I get this right. Pastor Love is going to hold me accountable about this. Did you tell him that, right? Okay. All right. So here we are. He told her. The woman said to him, sir, I'm in verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I will never be thirsty, nor have to come all this way to draw water. He said to her in verse 16, go call your husband and come here. You know, God is something else. God is something else. I'm telling you right now. You know, because, you know, most of the evangelism classes I done went to, they like, hey, once you get them close right there and, you know, offered it to them and it seemed like they ready to accept, that seemed like that's what we want, right? But Jesus said, if you want to follow the real strategy for evangelism, follow my lead. Jesus said right here, he said, all right, you want it? Go get your husband. Verse 17, the woman said, she answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you with now ain't your husband. This you have said truly. Jesus, you put her on blast. Jesus, you called her out. Jesus, you put her life on Front Street. You put her business out there. I'm here to tell you, Jesus putting your business out there too. Jesus putting my business out there too. If we're going to come to God, we got to come correct. If we're going to come to God, church, we got to come correct. God said, you can't come. He said, I already know about all the baggage you got. I already know about all the dirt you done done. Yeah, yeah. But I need for you to look it in the face. Yeah. I need for you to own it. I need for you to say, I've sinned against you, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need for you to say, Lord, all of the things I've done, my sins are against you. Yeah. You know, the time when I was slipping and tripping and dipping and all this other stuff, Lord God, I did that. The people I the people who I lied on, the people who I talked about, the people who I stole money from, the people who I killed, I murdered with my mouth. I talked about a lot of people.
Come on.
God says, I need you to own that. Because I got this gift for you. But to get this gift, you need to repent.
Yeah.
And repent means simply this. To turn from how you've been living, to turn from the things you've been doing.
Yeah.
To say, that's the wrong way that I'm going. God is the right way. God, I'm coming to you. I'm forgetting about that stuff behind me. I'm not walking that way no more. I'm not talking that way no more. I'm not going in places no more. I'm not going to talk about people like I used to talk about them. I'm not going to sit up and I'm not going to curse and use those kind of words that I used to use. I understand that you have a standard for me living. I want to do it your way. I can't do it in my power, but I believe you can get me there. Lord God, I want this gift that you got for me. I got to put these glasses back on. All right. Okay. So here it is. She's got to come face to face with her sins. All right. Here this woman was with the opportunity to receive life, eternal life. She wanted it. Jesus said it in 14, verse 14, that he could give it to her, that he has the living water. All right. Now she's got to come face to face with the fact that she's been living this certain kind of way. Verse 17, she said, I have no husband. Then look at what Jesus said. He said, you said correctly, I have no husband. The five that you've had five husbands, the man you're with now ain't your husband. But why would he do this? Here this woman is, seemingly she's ready. You know, he didn't get out. You know, that's not out of the normal evangelism book, like I said. Jesus said it because he knew that she could never have eternal life until she faced up to and owned her sins against God. The problem she had was she was living in sin. She was shacking up. It was her and her boo, just like many of us today. Oh, it's quiet now. Don't worry about it. I brought my own amens. All right, amen. All right, okay. You know, it's all right. We need to understand that the problem the Samaritan woman faced is the same problem we all face. Our sins have separated us from God. Isaiah 59 and 2 says it this way. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. We were all born with a sin nature, and we've each chosen to disobey God. And you can't have eternal life until you face up to your sin and deal with it. You can't just sweep it under the rug and say, hey, it ain't there. You can't pretend that it never happened. Or worse yet, you just can't keep on doing the same thing and think you got God too. It's a lot of people that think they do, but that's not it. Jesus shows us here. He wouldn't have brought it up, right, unless it was extremely important. You can't be reconciled to God without repenting of your sins, because it is our sins that separate us from God. It's like a husband who's in trouble with his wife and wanting to make things right with his wife, but he don't want to stop running around with his side piece. Sisters ain't going for that. Y'all sisters going for that? No, sir. And guess what? God ain't going for it either. And 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceiving ourselves and the truth ain't in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't try to act like you haven't sinned against God. None of us deserve to go to heaven. But God, in his great love for us, says, I came to clean you up. I came to give you a new home. I came to give you a new future. You don't, and I don't either. But the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are sinners in need of God's grace, his saving grace, his love, and his mercy. I ask you today, we got to be like the Samaritan woman. We got to come face to face with our sins. All right, my time is running out. My last point. We praise. Do y'all think that the Samaritan woman accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that day? I hear a couple of people, yes, yes. Well, I know she accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I know she drank from that living water. You know what? You know how I really, really know? What does a person do when they get saved? When a person truly gets saved, when you got saved the first time, well, I mean, but the only time when you really got saved, what did you do? Oh, you had to run and go tell somebody. You had to run and go tell somebody. Oh, I'm here to tell you that God saved me today. Oh, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Oh, I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Oh, God is my Savior. Oh, do you know who Jesus Christ is? I want to share Jesus with you. I want you to go to heaven too. I'm going. I want you to go. Oh, when you really get saved, you got to go tell somebody. Let me tell you what the Bible says she did in verses 28 and 29. She went back to her home. Here's what she did. The Bible says, so the woman left her water pot where Jesus was and went into the city and said to the men, get this, she talking to the men. It says, come and see a man who told me all the things I have done. Is this not the Christ? You know what the Bible says? It says, as a result of her testimony, them men saw something different in her that day. Them men said, I've been knowing this woman. Man, she on fire. Something different about this woman. Here she is saying, I believe I ran into the Christ today. Y'all need to come see a man. Y'all need to come see a man. Y'all need to come see a man. He told me everything about me. Hallelujah. Her testimony was so convincing. That says all the men went out there and said, I got to see what's going on over here. Who is this dude? As a result of her testimony, the Bible declares many came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you something today. When you know who Jesus Christ is in the pardoning of your sins, you ought to testify to somebody about God's goodness. You ought to be able to tell somebody, oh, God saved me. Oh, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. You ought to be able to tell somebody, come meet a man who told me everything about me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today is your day. If you're here today under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day that you can have that living water. Today is the day that you can be like the Samaritan woman and say, I know a man who told me everything about me. I know a man who told me everything, and he is the Christ. I dare you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, to raise your hand and say, I want to know who Jesus Christ is in the pardon of my sins. I want to know that I'm saved today. I want to taste that living water today. I want some of that bread of life today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As I take my seat, God seeks, God saves, and we praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.